us as we look into your word. Speak to us. Oh, as only you can. In Jesus' name. Amen. Last night, I had dinner with James Barnes. The first time I met him, we kind of were joking about our initials. He's a man who was a former Black Panther. He had attended the Prodigals Conference where I was speaking, and one of the first things I noticed about him was his joy. When I asked him where he was from, and we had lived in some of the same places, I asked him why he had traveled around so much. And he responded with one word, sin. He was at one point in his life a violent man. He was jailed for armed robbery and attempted murder. He had an emptiness inside, and he told me that no matter how he had tried to fill it, nothing else would. I mean, he had sought so many things. He had actually been a recruiter for the Black Panthers at one point in his life, and you know, knew the higher ups. Interesting situation. But one night, he and his brother were reading the paper, and they were drinking, and they saw a program announced at a church that interested them. So they went. And that night, he saw something he never saw before. He was witnessing a baptism, and he saw the power of the Lord Jesus Christ at work in hearts and lives. And in all of his time knocking around, in his time in jail, he told me, "No one had ever shared the gospel with me. But that night, someone did." And not long afterwards, he received Jesus as his Savior. And God's Spirit began to change him. All the things he had tried before, as a Black Panther, as a Sunni Muslim, nothing, no one ever moved him like Jesus. And he is an older man today who frequently preaches. But he, you know, again, one of the first things I noticed about him was this joy, this love for his Lord. And as we begin this morning, I'd just like to bring us back to that singular thought. Where would you be without him? Please ask yourself that and take the time to really think about it this morning, not just as a rhetorical point in a sermon, but as something that you take home with you to ponder. Where would I be without Jesus? What change has he made in my life? Who is he to me? Why am I thankful for him? More than 700 years before his birth, God's Spirit stirred in the powerful prophet Isaiah and spoke to him about the one who was to come. And these are the words he wrote. "Here is my servant, whom I uphold, my chosen one in whom I delight. I will put my Spirit on him, and he will bring justice to the nations." I'm going to ask if you would please go ahead and stand as I read this. Advent is coming. It's not here yet, but it's coming soon. "He will not shout or cry out or raise his voice in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not snuff out. In faithfulness he will bring forth justice. He will not falter or be discouraged till he establishes justice on earth. In his teaching, the islands will put their hope. This is what the Lord says, the creator of the heavens, who stretches them out, who spreads out the earth with all that springs from it, who gives breath to its people and life to those who walk on it. I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness. I will take hold of your hand. I will keep you and will make you to be a covenant for the people and a light for the Gentiles, to open eyes that are blind, to free captives from prison, and to release from the dungeon those who sit in darkness. Please be seated. But again, as you do, please ask yourself, where would I be without him? Just a quick look at this passage shows us so much. First, Jesus gives justice. Justice. You know, real justice, not in the way that politicians throw it about or people do in worship services when they want to sound, I don't know, but genuine justice. Imagine that. Wrongs set right, those things that no one ever saw, God knows about. Keep going. One day, all of the world's wrongs set right. But he'll do it in ways different than our ways. He will be gentle and kind. Notice this. He will not shout or cry out. And then this, a bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not snuff out. That is a metaphor for his mercy. Think about that. Think about those times in your life where you have felt like that, so low that your candle is just about out. Jesus will meet you in that place with kindness. He will give light to you in darkness. And notice this. He will be gentle, but he will also not give up. He will not give up. He will not falter or be discouraged till he establishes justice on earth. He will not give up until he reaches even the distant places. In his teaching, the islands will put their hope. That's the first part of Isaiah's message. That's just the introduction to who this servant of God is, who is coming. And again, remember, 700 years before Jesus' birth, Isaiah prophesies this. He sees this through the Spirit of God. And Isaiah is a great book to read at this time of year because, for example, you get to the the 53rd chapter and you find this incredible prophecy about who the Son of God is, who the suffering one is. Surely he took up our infirmities, carried our sorrows. We considered him stricken by God. He was pierced for our transgressions, crushed for our iniquities. But the punishment that brought us peace was upon him. That's just 11 chapters later in Isaiah. But then here again, back to the 42nd chapter, Isaiah begins to get personal. This is what the Lord God says, the creator of the heavens who stretches them, who spreads out the earth with all that springs from it, who gives breath to its people, life to those who walk on it. Do you see how personal that begins to get? That means that you and I, as we sit here, and the synapses fire in our brains, and the breath fills our lungs. That's not us. That's someone who is holding us up. He who created us sustains us in this moment. And we live, we exist entirely because of his mercy to us. That's not a minor point. It's a huge point. It seems minor because we take it for granted. But therein lies so much. None of us created ourselves. And in his presence, you and I live, but this is only the beginning. He is so personal, so every fiber of our being is dependent on him. But it's not just that. He longs for us. He calls us to himself. I've called you in righteousness. I will take hold of your hand. Now, this is what he speaks to his people, but even we who are distant, who have been brought near, yes, this was originally the Jewish people that he was speaking to, but then look. Look who he is. A light for the Gentiles. I will keep you and will make you to be a covenant for the people and a light for the Gentiles. There's so much here. Jesus spoke of a new covenant. Jesus spoke of a new agreement in his blood that was poured out for the forgiveness of sins. And as he calls us to himself, look at how he does it. He opens eyes that are blind. He frees captives from prison. He releases those from the dungeon who sit in darkness. Now that is both literal and figurative. Because you and I have seen his kindness and mercy. We have seen him heal us and set us free and break those things that bind us and hold us back. We have known the lies of the evil one in our own lives that would put us into bondage and sadness and despair. And we have seen the love of God flow into even those places where you and I have messed up so badly, and we wonder how God could love us. And here he meets us, the one who doesn't break a bruised reed or snuff out a smoldering candle. He longs for us to come to him. I will take hold of your hand. You see, that's literally what he did in Jesus. Think of the number of times Jesus reached out to someone and lifted them up. This is the very concept of the incarnation of Almighty God, coming to you and me to set us free. One of the other speakers at the conference this week was a man from Louisiana by the name of Don Long. Don and his wife Diane have an amazing ministry to prodigals, and it's in over 20 countries. People praying around the world. Don himself was a prodigal years ago. He was living far from God. He was working for Paramount Studios. He had a well-paying job. It was the early 70s. But he and his brother would drink heavily and do LSD. And Don was living in Texas. But back in Louisiana, where he was from, one night his sister had a heavy burden for him. And she started to pray for him. And the next day, she went to the church and she stayed there all day. The whole day, just praying for him. And at the same time, Don and his brother had been on a binge. But even in their altered state, God had begun to get through to them. They put a song, and again, this was in the 70s, so they put a song on the record player, and it was a secular album, you know. But it seemed to them that every song on the album was about God and God's love. So that kind of freaked them out a bit, so they turned on the TV. And then it seemed like everything that they watched, there was a message for them in it from God. And that freaked them out even more. And by now it was 3:30 in the morning. And there's this bay window looking out on the courtyard where their apartment is. And they look out, and again, they've been doing LSD. They're in an altered state. But there's a man out there, I mean, this was actually happening, who was cooking a chicken on a rotisserie. And he was a bald-headed man, and his face was kind of glowing, you know. And he was poking the chicken every once in a while with the rotisserie. Well, you know, if you think they were freaking out before, that did it. But meanwhile, their sister was praying. And they got in the car and they headed back to Louisiana. And I asked him, I said, Don, and you got to understand, I mean, this guy is just a quiet, thoughtful, gentle, loving believer. I mean, as we were pulling on to the on-ramp, it was a busy freeway there in Little Rock, a short on-ramp, and he had to stop because the weather wasn't good, and, you know, there was a semi pulling up, and every once in a while, you know, that happens. And the person before them, you know, and he and his wife just so gently said, you know, bless you. Bless you. Meanwhile, you know, the fiery Presbyterian is sitting there thinking, oh, bless you, you know. You know, so these are gentle, loving Christian people. But he gets in the car with his brother. They head back to Alexandria, Louisiana at that point in their lives. And it wouldn't be long before Don gave his life to God again. But here's the thing. I asked him, how did your sister know to pray for you? How did she know to pray for you like that? Had you seen her recently? Had you talked to her on the phone? He said, No, I hadn't seen her since Christmas, not in months. It was just God. Just God. God who can work through even the most unlikely of circumstances and persevere through them to reach us, even us. Today, Don loves to share God's mercy with others and to encourage them to pray for those they love to come to Jesus. So Thanksgiving is coming. In just a few days, it will be here. And if you've got the turkey, and if you've got the dressing, and you've got the sweet potatoes, and the whatever it is you do, I'd still like to ask you, are you ready? Are you ready? Because that's not Thanksgiving. Right? Am I right? Please ask yourself, how am I thankful for Jesus? What has he done for you? How has he brought you out of darkness, out of despair, out of self-destruction? He does these things. He does them every day. And he tells us, even us, I will take hold of your hand. So of all the things that we're thankful for, are we most thankful for him? And if we're not, honestly, as we take an inventory of ourselves, could you stop long enough and quiet yourself before him and tell him that? And ask for his help. Lord, help me to be thankful for you. I want to be thankful for you. This isn't, again, some nice thought or abstract concept. This is someone real who longs to show us his goodness and his peace and his love so that his light shines on our lives and we live with a thankfulness that we never had before. Because there is no one like Jesus who came not to rule but to serve and to rescue with love. I will take hold of your hand. If you let him, you will thank him. May we pray. Lord, in this place, before we leave it even today, help us. Help us to get our minds right, to get our hearts right, and be thankful for you most of all, our beautiful Savior. Father, thank you for giving us life. Thank you for breathing into us. Lord, help us to live in love with you. This morning, as we conclude this time, that really is what it is all about. A love that meets us and transforms us and lifts us and gives us hope. Do you know that love? It shines from the person of Jesus. And if you come to him and admit your need and admit your darkness, we all have it. And ask him to save you from your sins. We've all sinned. He will take you by the hand and guide you in love and in life, because he sets the captives free. Oh, Lord, we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.